Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I am the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. I would also like you to continue to pardon our space as we are still under construction. I am now honored to introduce this morning's speaker, John Tomino. John is a first-generation American citizen born to immigrant parents. The oldest of four brothers, he grew up in Syracuse, New York. In 2002, John and his brothers opened Asti Cafe on Syracuse's north side. He served as president and chef of the corporation until 2011, when he and his wife, Leanne, founded In My Father's Kitchen. In My Father's Kitchen is a 501c3 non-for-profit corporation registered with the New York State Department of State. It is a faith-based organization offering non-denominational and non-discriminatory assistance to homeless people through direct street outreach. As the In My Father's Kitchen staff builds relationships with the chronically homeless individuals, they identify and meet the unique needs of homeless people not yet ready to leave the streets and who refuse to stay in emergency shelters. As a result, In My Father's Kitchen provides food, clothing, basic necessities, and medical and mental health care to homeless individuals where they live on the streets on a consistent and compassionate basis until the homeless individual is comfortable accepting help and working with community agencies to secure housing. Please join me in welcoming John Tomino.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily. I appreciate that awesome introduction. Thank you. It's a humbling experience. My wife, Leanne, is not able to be here today, and I have this wonderful post in front of me, so I apologize in advance if I can't see you. I am half Spanish, half Italian, so I'm passionate, so I probably will be walking around a little bit, so you'll see me doing that. Emily, I just want to thank you for inviting us to come and share about the work that we do. And today we're going to specifically be talking about this new initiative that we started with Onondaga County in a partnership, this Higher Ground Program, a work initiative. Before we get to that, I want to explain to you exactly how we got there, what we do currently, the different kinds of things that we're doing, and how we do what we do, and why we do what we do. I won't be able to get into everything that we do in the time that we have. I know that we're going to open it up to questions for about 20 minutes near the end, so I'm looking forward to fielding any tough questions. No question is a hard question. Every question is a good question. And I'd love to try to bring clarity as much as possible. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know the answer to that. I'm trying to be honest and going forward in what we do. I did bring a brochure, so everyone who's sitting down somewhere, you do have a brochure. It leads you to a website. If you want to know more information of what we do and some of our other programs, we do sell a pasta sauce as well at Wegmans. That helps us do the work that we do as well by bringing in finances and awareness. So you can check all that out. So, Higher Ground, we're going to start with that first video. We're going to show a video, and then we're going to launch in right off this video.
Morning. Hi, how are you?
It's a day labor program that In My Father's Kitchen now is partnered with the County of Onondaga, where we're assisting folks who are panhandling on the streets of Central New York and giving them an alternative to that.
Okay, so our work day starts at 9. We work till 2 o'clock. There's a half-hour lunch, a 15-minute break. At the end of the day, you'll be transported to In My Father's Kitchen, which is at 501 Holly Ave, to receive your stipend. So it's $50 for 5 hours. 6 years ago, I myself was homeless. I was addicted to alcohol and drugs, and I met John Tomino. And so I went into a rehab. I was in the rehab for about 8 months with John. John was in my corner the whole time. And then I started working again, getting back on my feet. John helped me get into an apartment and a job.
But the main thing that happens during that five-hour shift is that we're doing a deep dive with engagement. We have a caseworker on the van as well as a van driver who does kind of social work kinds of things to help people get connected to service providers, helping them not just by putting money in their pocket, but getting them connected to services.
Kevin and John pulled up on me one day and they explained the program to me, and it's a wonderful program. It keeps people off the streets, it keeps us from panhandling. It's good camaraderie. I meet a lot of good people doing this, so I love it, you know. Helps out a lot.
So one of the things that in the evolution of what I think could happen with our Higher Ground program, right now we go out Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Based on what we're seeing already, the ultimate goal would be to go full-time 5 days a week to give more people opportunities to come onto that van. And then eventually, hopefully, get a second van going down the road. I just think that we're doing a great thing, not just for the folks that are coming on the van, but we're doing a great thing for our county and our city.
So that's the kind of, in a nutshell, in 2 minutes, a video that was created by the county of Onondaga with Ryan McMahon in his office. And so how did we get to starting this program, Higher Ground? It started with street outreach. So when I left Restaurant World behind, that's why I'm wearing my chef coat, my natural talent as a chef. I use food as a vehicle to connect people and build relationships with folks. We're all partaking of coffee, donuts, and cake and things this morning. Food draws people, and I use my natural gift as a chef to bring out restaurant quality lunches to our friends. We call them friends that are living outside in places not meant for human habitation. So in my father's kitchen goes out twice a week. We go out Tuesdays and Thursdays. We bring lunches to the folks that are living in places not meant for human habitation. So there is 3 major shelters right here in downtown Syracuse. The rescue mission is right on the other side of that bridge. I'm dealing with folks who won't go to shelter. These are folks that are living in an abandoned house. They're living in the woods somewhere in a tent. They're living or sleeping under a bridge. So that's my group of folks. That number is a lot smaller than the number of folks that are sleeping in shelters every night. So I'm working with dozens of folks, not hundreds of folks, thank God. So we go out twice a week and we bring out these awesome lunches to folks. And then we also bring out other things. I brought my little goodie bag here. So we bring out socks. We all like socks on the streets. These are called freshies. So you put on a fresh pair of socks. They can't wash them, they can't launder them, so what they turn into are disposable. So every time I see you, you get 2 pair of socks. 2 days later, I see you again, you get another 2 pair of socks. So they wear them, they put them on, they wear them for a while, they get dirty, and then they just toss them out. So with me, I know at home when I put on a fresh pair of socks, I love the way they feel. They feel tight to your feet, they don't fall down, your feet feel fresh, and we bring value and dignity through these kinds of things like that. The other thing that we bring out to the street are wet wipes. Right, so if you're living outside, you don't have a restroom anywhere, you don't have toilet paper, we're gonna give you a wet wipe. In the summertime it's hot, you wipe yourself down. In the wintertime, you're dirty and you gotta wipe yourself off, you use wet wipes. The other thing that we bring out to the street is deodorant, right? So these are just basic things that we all have in our home probably. And sometimes I've learned is like we take for granted some of the things that we have, based on the fact that we're living inside in a normal kind of a situation, but these items that are simple items turn into real powerful tools and are handed in my father's kitchen to continue building a relationship with folks. So we go out there twice a week to build that relationship until they're ready to make a move to change their lives. I don't know when their moment of readiness is. All my mission is I want to be standing there when they finally say, I'm ready. So over the last 8 years, in my father's kitchen, in collaboration with our Housing and Homeless Coalition, which we're part of, there's 50 providers, we've assisted 127 people who are living in those kinds of situations, come out of those situations and get into some kind of housing situation, bypassing shelter and getting into their own apartments. How does that happen? I don't have the housing, but I know who the housing providers are. My relationships become the relationships to the folks that are out on the streets of Central New York. So if you need housing, we know where to get you. If you have a mental health issue and you need to see a doctor, we're going to get you to Hutchings. We partner with Hutchings in the Washington Street Clinic. We transport people there. We stay with you through your journey. We make sure that you get connected. If you have substance abuse issues going on and addiction, like Kevin in that video, when we assisted Kevin, he went through the Salvation Army. At that time, was an 8-month program on Erie Boulevard. He graduated that program, but we were there with him along the whole journey as a mentor. He could call me if he wanted to. I would take him out, encourage him, and then he graduates that program, and then his life turns around. So we connect you to where you have to go. So the food and my talent just opens the door for conversation, and then these other things that I use keeps that relationship going until they trust me enough to tell me the story. If you look at the brochure that I gave you in that picture, that's one of our guys that's holding our sign, his sign that says, I am not invisible. To me, he wanted to show me, because I always tell our friends outside, they're not invisible. I say, I see you, I know you're out here, I see you, and I want to help you.
to me, when he showed me that sign, he bought into the fact that even though he might still be standing in that corner, he knows he's not invisible. Even though he knows he's broken and has a lot of things going on, he's being seen by our organization, and we're trying to bring him out and be seen by everyone in the community. So he bought into that concept. So, street outreach. Once off the streets, the majority of people still panhandle. Why? So this is the question I get a lot, and the reason is, in my group of folks that I work with at demographics out on the streets, mental health and substance abuse is huge. I would say 95% of our folks that we engage on a regular basis are either using some kind of substance or they're not taking their medication that they need to take for their mental health, which causes them to go outside. And if they don't take their medication, they usually self-medicate with some kind of illegal substance to kind of bring some relief to whatever they're going through, but then it causes them to make bad decisions and land outside. Now, that's Kevin, who was in the video when I met him. This is TLAB off-ramp when he was addicted to crack cocaine living outside on the streets of Syracuse. He's now our van driver. It's been 5 years, right? So me building a relationship with him, me bringing out a lunch to him, me bringing out the things that I just showed you to him, allowed him to trust me enough to make a move to get off the streets. I can't make that move for them. I can't want it more than them. They have to want it. And when they're ready and want it, we're going to go all in and help you through your journey. So, who are the panhandlers? So when you see someone who's panhandling, there's three groups of people. So there's a panhandler who's outside living in a place not meant for human habitation. They're holding a sign. Like I said, the majority of folks are addicted to stuff, so they're wanting money to go get their stuff, right? The second group of people are people who won't live outside. Thank God they'll go to one of our shelters, but yet still there's a money issue going on and there's some addiction going on, so that person will go out to a corner and hold a sign to try to raise funds to get whatever they need. The third group of people are the people that we house and other folks house in the community. So now you get into an apartment, but you still have no job, you still have no income, and you might not be dealing with your addiction or whatever's going on, and you still need money for some other things that food stamps will buy, so they go out to the corner. 95% of those folks, like I told you, have those two issues going on in their lives. That gentleman there, Mark, was Kevin's brother. Mark has passed away. Mark died in an abandoned house fire, I think it was 5 years ago, behind the TLAF post office when two guys died in that building. Those were two of our guys that we worked with, and those are two of 24 people that I've met over the last 8 years that have passed away from complications of living a homeless situation. Mark and this guy Keith died in an abandoned house fire. Two women were murdered that I met outside on the streets. Eight people have OD'd from heroin, and the rest died from a hard life of living outside. So it's life and death outside. We have great victorious stories, but then there's really sad stories. And these sad stories is the gasoline in my tank that keeps me going and doing the work that we do, because that's somebody's son. That's somebody's brother. That's someone's dad standing on that corner. And if that was my family member out there, you bet your butt I want someone going out and trying to reach out to them. And that's what we do. So I say we're your hands extended in the community. So one of the things that I realized quickly is the fact of now that they get inside, they're still out there panhandling. So I got you to cross this bridge from homelessness to housing. You're still not buying into your being sober thing, and it's causing you to go back outside. So we've had this desire to, how do we put money in your, how do I get you to stop holding a sign? Right, so how can I give you value and dignity other than holding a cardboard sign? And I had this idea of being able to pay someone money. So I tried to do this on my own about 4 years ago. I went out with a retired master chief. His name is Mike Kazdubinski, and he had a really great military mindset. He was a cryptologist in the Navy, made his fortune in defense contracting. And he said, John, we gotta do something. We gotta come up with something. So I tried to do it on my own, and then the problem came into, how do you give somebody cash? I could get in trouble for giving someone cash. It could affect their services. If I give them something around public assistance, how does that all work? So it kind of got frustrated out of me, and then one day in a meeting, they started talking about panhandlers again, and I leaned over to Sue McMahon, who works for the city of Syracuse, and she's Ryan McMahon's, obviously the county executive's mother. I said, I have an idea, and I pitched it to her. I said, can you help me build this out? So Leanne and I traveled to New Mexico. We found out about a program that was out there. We visited a program. I went on the streets on a work van. It's called the Better Way Program in New Mexico. That's been running for 5 years. It's been funded by the city of New Mexico. And I went out and worked with a bunch of people and worked with this guy, van driver, and Leanne did all the logistical stuff working with the office folks to find out how they did it. And we came back to Syracuse. I have a meeting with then Ryan McMahon, who wasn't the county executive. I think he was the president of the council, county council of the county. And we were talking about stuff, and next thing you know, there's an opportunity. We put in an RFP, we won that contract, and now we're partnered with the county of Onondaga with this work program. Now, like in that video, it says, you work for 5 hours. We're gonna provide breakfast in the morning, coffee and donuts, which is donated by the Wallet Group, the Dunkin' Donuts guys that own the Dunkin' Donuts in Central New York. So every time they go out, we get coffee and donuts in the morning, just like we got coffee and donuts today. It's a way to hang out, break bread, drink coffee, learn a little bit about each other. We work then, we have a lunch that's provided by In My Father's Kitchen and the Higher Ground Program, and at the end of the day, they get paid. The jobs that we're doing are jobs throughout the community, whether they're county jobs, state jobs, or working with the DOT. Here's a picture of, we're at the state fairgrounds, and we assembled 150 of the picnic tables. So if you were at the fair this year and you sat at one of those picnic tables, you probably sat in one of the ones that our crew assembled. Down below, we are cleaning up an area for the state. That was an area that was an illegal dumping zone. We went down there with our crew of 9 and we cleaned it up. So 9 people go out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We pick them up at pickups points in the community. We have one downtown. There's one down by Duncan Bright. There's one over by Teal Ave Price Right. We have one by the regional market. We go to a stop out in Mattydale and we pick up 3 people from each spot. And the problem we're having now is the fact that there's a bunch of people that show up and we only could take 9. Kevin is so heartbroken every time that he has to turn folks away, but we try to rotate people through. One of the awesome things is that young man that spoke in the video, Jeremy, he's a heroin addict and flies over a sign in Mattydale. And in the beginning, he's talked about he didn't want to do anything to take care of his addiction. Well, after 7 rides on our van, and working with Carolyn, our caseworker, after 35 hours of being with him, so me doing street hour, which I have you for 5 or 10 minutes, now we have you for 5 hours. So other than working and getting paid, it's 5 hours of deep diving into your life to figure out what's going on. And last week, he finally made a decision and said, I want to go into detox, and we helped him get into the Helio program. That wouldn't have happened, I believe, if he never got on that work van. So work gave him dignity and value. We were showing him that we were proud of him, that you did it in the middle of your suffering. Imagine if you get off of heroin. Imagine if we help you get indoors somewhere. We could get you connected to employers who will employ you. And as of to date now, over the last 4 months, 8 folks that have worked on our work van have gotten connected to employment. Just 2 days ago, Joe, who owns Fish Cove and Shop City, hired Cruz, one of our guys, who's been working with us for quite a while, and Cruz has now got a part-time job. And it all started because he was on a van. And it all started because we went out to the streets to give him a lunch. So it's a beautiful thing. For me, it's value and dignity through work. And I want to show you this video of the guys working and the girls. It's women as well as men. It's not just guys. Hey, everyone. It's John from In My Father's Kitchen. We're here at one of the beautification projects with the state today. We're at the on-ramp to 690 heading east, and we're already picking up a lot of trash here. We have a nice crew of 9. These folks today are all folks that are living in one of the shelters in Onondaga County, and we're all picking up here trash and litter, getting it all cleaned up, cleaning up our community. There's Kevin. Carolyn's over there doing an intake. And there's our crew back there working, and here's the van. We're underneath the bridge. You can hear the traffic going right now, but we're gonna make this area nice and clean today. Cleaning up our city, using folks who are in the middle of coming through a transition in their lives. We're giving them a hand up, not a handout. Dignity and value through work. City of Syracuse, cleaning it up. Higher Ground, where they're wonderful, beautiful folks who are trying to make a move out of their brokenness. This is John from In My Father's Kitchen. Taste and see. Higher Ground. So when I started this, I got some really kind of negative feedback. Oh, these guys, they don't want to work. These people don't want to work. Don't tell me they don't want to work. To date, I've had 250 people come through our van. 250 unduplicated people. People want to work. People want a hand up, not a handout. But if they're not getting a hand up, they're going to go ask for a handout. So thinking outside of the box is the one of the things that Leanne and I do at In My Father's Kitchen. I'm always trying to challenge status quo. Being a business guy and still thinking like an entrepreneur, but now running a not-for-profit, I still think like a businessman. So I approach the work that we do with thinking in a way of how can we make it different? How can we make it better? I'm always trying to challenge myself. Every morning I wake up, and what can I do different today that I did yesterday to make someone's life turn around? And I'm always challenging myself. Our staff, we have a staff meeting. We always talk about different ways of doing things. But my whole thing is it's through building relationships. The relationships minimize risk with people. We all have friends that we hang out with, and some of us probably have best friends that we really hang out with. The difference between a friend and a best friend is just the longer the time period that you hang out with someone and the more comfortable you feel with someone, the more you share with each other. If your friend calls you and they're struggling, you're gonna help your friend. Well, they are our friends. I use the word friends, I don't use the word client. That's taboo in the industry. I didn't go to school for social work. I don't have any degrees behind my name. I'm just a guy with a heart to want to help someone who's broken. I was a broken young man, and I had people get in my corner and help me through. I had a brother who was hooked on heroin for 8 years, and now is 10 years sober. I understand the trials and tribulations of coming through addiction, seeing it, experiencing it, and I know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to let people know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and that we see you. We see you standing out here. We see you out there, and we want to help you. So Carolyn, as a retired teacher, 30 years, she worked with children. She has two master's degrees. She worked with children that had IEPs, learning disabilities in school. So kids that went through brokenness in school, well, a lot of our friends outside that we realized that they had issues like that when they were kids in school. There was a lot of these folks that were all children at one time that might have had some learning disabilities and they never got the help that they need. And Carolyn's skill set that she learned in the school district up in Sandy Creek, now she's coming, drives into the city and works with us as an employee, but has a heart to help folks. And that's her doing an engagement with one of our young ladies. And that's one of the guys that actually lived in that campsite that we cleaned up. And he wanted to work that day as well, and he got paid. This young lady here, other than panhandling, a lot of the women outside end up selling themselves for money. They prostitute to get money to do the things that they need to do to survive, and usually there's a guy that's pushing them out there. If you look in our brochure, there's in the middle panel, there's a thing called Life House that Leanne and I are doing, that we're building a house that's going to be helping women coming out of sex trafficking. We're working with Judge Limpert at sex trafficking court. But this young lady yesterday, we were doing street outreach, Tuesday, pulled me to the side. I didn't know that she was selling herself. And we've been engaging with her for probably 2 months. And she pulled me to the side, and she said to me, I'm trying not to get emotional, to me, because it's like, she's young. She's like, could be my daughter, you know? So, and it's somebody's daughter. And she said, John, she goes, this is what I do besides this, and I can't do this anymore. I need help. Can you help me? And I brought up Judge Limpert, and she said she tried his court, and she bailed out of it. It's an 8-month program. And now she's on the run. She has a warrant for her arrest for skipping out on that thing, that charge. I sent out an email to Judge Limpert yesterday, and we're going to try to engage with him and her and do a soft landing for her to get. She's ready. Like I told you, I just want to be standing there when they finally say, I'm ready. She was ready on Tuesday. The hard thing for me is there's never a quick, hey, let's just turn around in 2 minutes and get you fixed. It takes time to get you connected. So today, as we go out and do street outreach this afternoon, I'm going to let her know that I reached out to Judge Liburn. He hasn't reached back out to me yet. But as soon as I hear information, we're going to connect her. That's how we do it. It happens through engagement. So the Higher Ground program, yeah, we're paying you. Yeah, it's day labor. But that's not the real mission is getting you changed and getting you to buy into changing your life around, to make you viable again, to get someone who's off the grid back on the grid again, right? but it takes time. Nothing happens overnight. It's blood, sweat, and tears for Leanne and I, and in my father's kitchen. Community engagement, the story behind the cardboard sign. I say everyone sees the sign, no one knows the story behind the sign. We learn the story behind those cardboard signs. Everybody has a story. We all have a story. We just hide our story better than other people. Those guys that are outside on the street are wide open. Their stories are wide open for all to see, but no one really wants to learn their story. When we get to learn their story, Steve worked on our work van. He got paid at the end of the day. He's actually been on the van 4 times. He comes over to me in distress. And this is what he shows me. And every picture that I show of people, they all sign a release of information. They sign a media release. They know that I'm talking about them because they want me to talk about them because they need help. He shows me his teeth. He's suffering. I post this picture, and then this dentist sees my posting on social media, calls me, says, I want to do the work for free. So we're in the process right now of getting his teeth fitted for dentures. They have to pull everything first. His teeth got to heal, and then they're going to fit them, and then they're going to make the mold, and they're going to give him a set of dentures. Over $5,000 worth of work that this dentist, this man in our community, had a heart to want to help this young man out. To me, and him, when we went to the dentist, like that's him in the dentist chair, he was terrified. He hates going to the dentist. He doesn't like pain, and I'm like, you won't go to the dentist, but you go outside and you use drugs. That's risky. So your mind doesn't get these things, but he had a fear of the dentist. Kat, who works for us, our caseworker on street outreach, accompanied Steve to the dentist, sat with him, held his hand, and through the journey. So right now we're waiting for the teeth to come in, the dentures to come in, and then Steve's gonna have a set of teeth. Value and dignity. If a set of teeth and a dentist giving me his talent will help this guy think, man, these people really care about me and that my life could turn around, it's worth it. It's worth it. Is getting free dentures worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it to get someone's life to turn around. So Steve asked for help. Collaboration brings dignity. So with us, other than county and city government, working with not-for-profits, whether it's us or other agencies, it's community engagement. It's me and my relationships with folks that I've made in business sector. I'm always looking for businesses who want to partner with me, who wants to join forces and collaborate together to help someone outside. Private sector, we think a little bit differently than not-for-profits, right? When I was in that world, it was all about making this. And you did whatever you could do to make this. Well, now I need this to help people, so help me get this. That's my thing, so I could keep growing and keep changing and keep doing out-of-the-box scenarios. So, great conversations happen at lunch. This is our lunch crew. We picked up lunch that day. I think it was at Chipotle. They are getting their lunch. This gentleman here, his name is Jim, the bald head with the glasses. He was homeless, living in an abandoned house that no one knew about. He was under the radar with a dog. He wasn't known to anybody in our community. He wasn't in our database. He found out about our program, shows up on a corner one day, gets on her van, and Carolyn does engagement with him and finds out he's in an abandoned house 2 blocks from my office, and I wasn't even aware of it. He's been homeless for 4 years. He worked on her van 5 times. He got connected to Hutchings to take care of his mental health issues. Dr. Lehman from upstate, who comes out with us and does house calls to the homeless, treated him for some other things that he needed. He got housed 2 weeks ago. He's living at the Skyline Apartments. Higher ground drew him out of the shadows. A work van, where people tell me these guys don't want to work, he wanted to work. And because he wanted to work, we found out his story. And because we found out his story, we were able to help him. That's how it happens. It's that simple. That's Ken, he goes by K-Dog. When we do all our intakes, we know people's birthdays and things. We knew it was his birthday, he happened to be working that day. I secretly went and bought him a birthday cake, and we had a birthday party for him in the park during lunchtime. Value and dignity, whatever it takes to get people to buy into what happened. If a birthday cake is gonna get someone to change their life around and think about it, then so be it. A birthday cake is what I'm gonna use, whatever I need. So from brokenness to restored living again, I told you that was Kevin in 2013. Last year at our 5K in June, Congressman Katko and his wife came to run at our 5K. He wanted to meet Kevin. Kevin met him. Kevin was so blown away that he got to meet the congressman. To him, it was like, I can't believe Congressman Katko said he was proud of me. Like, he was so overwhelmed with the fact that the congressman said that to him. So to me, we might think, oh, you know, it's just, you might not agree with his politics, but all I know is it's affected Kevin. This is not a political statement. This is the effect of someone of influence seeing him and acknowledged him and said he was proud of his journey and his story. Whatever I could do to solidify for someone to stay on their path, whatever it takes, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, whatever you are, I'll take it. I need the help. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Kevin's now married 2 years ago, reunited with his kids. He lives in Weedsport, got a house now. 5 years or 6 years ago, he's hooked on crack. His whole life turns around. How does it happen? I go out with a lunch. I build a relationship with someone, and someone buys into it. That's all. Simple. It's hard, but it's simple at the same time. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. It's like the ABCs. That's Kevin leading one of our work crews. We worked with the water department. That's Phil from the water department over at Hiawatha Boulevard. We cleaned up all the areas where trash goes into the water basins and stuff. We made sure that that all stayed out so our water wouldn't get polluted, and that's what our crew did on that day. And one last video, and then I'll make a couple closing statements, and we'll go to questions. This is Jake talking about his experience.
Hey, everyone, it's John from In My Father's Kitchen. I'm here with Kevin, and I'm here with Jake. And today was our first maiden voyage of a workday for Higher Ground. So, Jake, tell us your experience today. So, you're, instead of panhandling today, you decided to work. Why is this important to you?
It's important because, first of all, spending a day doing work makes you feel more like a human being. Amen. You know, instead of standing out on a street corner and having to beg for it, you actually earn it, so it feels right. It feels better.
Yeah.
I feel good about myself.
Yeah. You know? So tell us what we were doing so far. What we were doing today. What did we do today?
So today, the way that it worked for me today, it was awesome. I was informed on where to be in the morning, and I was at the pickup location. They showed up, picked me up. Friendly, had coffee, it was great, came to the job site, was explained what duties were expected of us, and the whole team of us worked together as a smoothly oiled machine, and everything was just beautiful.
Yeah, so Kevin, you could get over there. Kevin, so you lived this experience that Jake is going through, so what does this mean to you now being the van driver?
For me, it's just getting, you know, seeing these guys, you know, like the expressions on their face because they're earning the money today.
Yeah.
You know, being there, being where he's been,
yeah,
I know what it's like to be on the streets and trying to get money, and it's, you know, it's so much better. You feel so much better about yourself.
You feel like a man.
Yeah,
right. Earn it instead of begging for it.
Yeah,
like
right.
Yeah.
So, Jake, in closing thoughts, anything you want to tell people who might see this video about, like, the struggles of living outside and what maybe bring some understanding to people?
Yeah, it's more than just showing up and making a buck and not having to panhandle that day. It's made to feel like a person. You know, I'm standing out there and people treat you like garbage. So this alone, being picked up, having a purpose, it just makes you feel like a human being again.
Awesome.
It's wonderful.
Thank you. All right, Jake, you're not invisible. Kevin, thank
Almost
you for partnering.
Crying,
yeah. God bless everyone. Thanks, Jake.
Amen.
Yep.
So I didn't prompt him. I didn't. All I said is I want to put you on video. Just speak from your heart. And he, in 2 minutes, a man who's on a corner, kind of explained the story and the impact that it made for him. And it's men and women. And before we go to questions, the only thing that I want to add is that all I'm doing is trying to build hope. People lose hope. They're out there and they're desperate. And for me, the definition of hope, and one of the other hats that I wear is I'm clergy, so I have a faith part of my life. And the Hebrew word for hope in Hebrew is a certain expectation. So when I say I'm building hope, I'm not building like this wishing thing. I'm building an expectation in someone, a certain expectation that you can change your life, that we are behind you. I'm building hope that then in turn hopefully changes someone's life. They got to want it. I can't want it more than them. They have to want it. But all I want to do is be there when they're ready. Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. Is it frustrating? Yep. It gets frustrating. I get frustrated at times. Do I pray a lot? I pray a lot. Is it worth it? Absolutely worth it. The best decision I made in my life, which was the craziest decision I made in my life, was to leave a restaurant and follow a faith journey and help people who are suffering come out of their situation. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So, questions, and don't be afraid to ask me a hard question. Go for it.
Hi, John. I'm Andrea Wandersee from NIDA. And first of all, thank you for all the work you do. My brother has spent most of his adult life homeless and passed away from addiction at the age of 46. And so I see these guys and look and think they're my brother. So thank you. I have two questions. Actually, I've got several, but I'll just stick with two. First of all, you alluded to the problem of the stipends and paying people and how it hits their benefits. And I know I rub up against that.
Yep.
In my work. And then the second question I have, I also rub up against in my work. So often when I'm working with neighbors and community members, people who I believe generally feel they're contributing to the community in positive ways say statements that allude to criminalizing these people's existence and really saying horrible things. Do you have sort of a response to those kinds of statements?
That's great. Two great questions. So the money thing, now that we're partnered with the county, so I've had meetings with everyone in the Department of Social Services to figure out how that is gonna, what does that look like when I start giving someone $50? So the great thing about the out of the box thinking is the county of Onondaga was thinking outside the box with me as well. So they wanted to make sure that it didn't affect someone's services. So we found out that there's they had to go back in the archives and find out rules and regulations, and these folks can make, they can work with me up to four times a month without affecting their services. So they can make $200 and not affect their services throughout the month. So to me, that was a win. So Carolyn keeps track of everyone's, when we're rotating people through, who gets close to that threshold. If someone does cross that threshold, all that does is send up a red flag up the pole that that person now has to go and visit with their jobs coach at the county if they're getting services, and just have this encounter with that jobs coach to figure out, okay, so you've been working a lot, so are you ready to make a move to work? One of the things that I found out is that those eight people that we connected to employment didn't have addictions anymore. They've conquered that battle, and they're working with their mental health physician to stay stable with their mental health. So I could get you connected and vet you out to bring you to an employer and make you ready. The other guys that might still be working, or women on a regular basis, are still using opioids or crack or whatever, but they could work with me for 5 hours on a work van, but they wouldn't be ready to work a part-time or full-time job. They would just have a meltdown. They would bail out. The second part of your question was comments. So it's challenging. Sometimes it hurts my feelings, but I've learned to have thick skin. And I think it just comes from people not understanding, right? And that's why I like to talk about their people's stories. And even when I share the stories, some of you, it might not resonate with you today, what I'm talking about. And that's okay. It doesn't offend me. That's your right to have your opinion. All I know is I see the proof of what we're doing and the evidence of what we're doing, and I believe it works. One of the things I didn't say that I always encourage people in the community is don't give money. If you're coming down the street and you see a guy on a corner, don't hand the money or the woman the money. It's things.
Socks.
Like I say, if you're a person that you feel that you need to do something in that moment, be proactive. Get a gallon Ziploc bag and put some of those things that I talked about in a bag. You get to that corner, you probably all have a regular person you might see coming into work. You roll your window down and say, hey, Joe, Susie, I have this bag. Would you like it? I always say, give them the power of choice. Don't assume that someone wants something. If they say no, don't be offended. If they say yes, hand out the product out the window and you scratch the itch that you had to help someone, you gave them something that they wanted, and then that everything's happy at that moment. You did what you felt you needed to do, they received something that they needed, happy medium. Put my information in there, put Rescue Mission's information in there, put information from any organization in the county to say, hey, there's some numbers in there that you could call if you need help, they'll help you. So thanks for those two questions.
Good question, Becky.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Good to see you. Greg Tripoli from the Onondaga Historical Association.
Hey, Greg.
You touched on something. We're working in partnership, as you know, with the Downtown Committee and a community engagement task force that I chair. We deal mostly with the education of the public. And so we're about to roll out a program in collaboration with Mower and Digital Hive, working with John. John's on the street doing the hard work. What we want to do is something that he touched on, is to educate the community about the fact that there are good places to, you know, for your money to go. If you do want to help, and we know that this comes from a good place for most people, that they do want to help, but it's important to educate the community that, you know, to give where it counts, and give your money to the program that John is running, rather than to those folks who are panhandling on the street. And together, I think that we can combat this problem in the best way. And John is just an amazing partner, and thank you so much for everything that
you're
doing.
Thanks for that comment. Thanks for sharing that as well. So, information. Question?
Thank you. What a wonderful service to our community. And it's good not just for the friends you have, but for the rest of us. They become productive members.
Yes.
I have a short question and a little longer one. The short question is, have you considered partnering with a laundry service so that your friends can turn in their dirty socks and get them laundered?
Yeah.
And the resource goes further.
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's something, if someone wants to come up with it, I'm more than happy to partner with that someone. I don't think it's something that I would want to start, because I know that's going to take a lot of work of collecting people's things, then getting it back to them. I mean, that's a good idea. I don't know anyone who's doing it by bringing it to them. Right. But if you want to start that, you go ahead and start it.
Well, think about it. And you mentioned Dr. Lehman and the
yes.
and the House Calls for the Homeless,
yes.
And I know, you know, that he has connected with you. I'm wondering if you could give us a little more information about how you met him and how you yeah. worked together.
So Dr. Lehman and I were invited to these medical meetings with the County of Onondaga, and they're trying to build out an idea of how do you bring medical services to the folks that are outside, the ones that aren't at shelters. And one of the things that it really rubs me always the wrong way is to have a meeting. Next thing you know, you're in meetings and meetings and meetings, and nothing ever gets done. I'm always like, we gotta just go do it. So after our fifth meeting, I lean over to Doc in a meeting, and I said, Doc, I go, I got the van, I'm already going out. Would you like to come out with me? He jumped on it. We met through these meetings. He jumped at the opportunity, brought his little medical bag, and started coming out to my friends, became his friends. So we introduced him to that group of folks, and now he's been coming out with us for just about a year almost, and does house calls to the homeless. Yesterday, Tuesday, we were just with a guy. If you go to our Facebook or Instagram or Twitter accounts, I post videos and things, and I have a thing of him treating a guy who had a bug bite, who the bug bite turned into an infected hole in his leg, and Doc went out there and treated it. It's just basic stuff, or giving people their medications. He becomes their primary care physician on the streets until we get them connected somewhere, and then when they get their own doctor, then he's not their doctor anymore. But in the meantime, he's keeping all medical records. Everything goes into the Upstate database, so it's all like it's like I'm going to an office, but it's him coming to them. Old school medicine, that's what he calls it. So thanks for those questions. Dan, right?
In addition to money, what else do you guys need to keep going with what you're doing?
Yeah, so like the items that we need. If you go to our website, there's a list of things that you could see, but it's usually material goods, talent. So like if you're a hairstylist, we need haircuts. Will you give your time to do a haircut? Can we come to your salon? Will you come to us? Clothing, specific kinds of items that we need from, like right now we're going into the winter months, so I need boots. I try to give as new as possible. I'll take used boots or shoes, but they really got to be in good shape. I've turned stuff away that people bring and say, no, I'm sorry, I don't give things with rips, tears, stains. I'm trying to bring dignity and value. Not that that's not good, but that's not my mission, right? So items that I showed earlier, a deodorant, wet wipe socks, I can never have enough of them. Yesterday I collected 1,031 pairs of socks from Blessed Sacrament School from the first and sixth graders. They had it Sock It September, they called it. And they collected socks through the month of September. They're my partners. And when I go out to the street, those elementary school kids are with me under the bridge. So any kind of items. seen the teeth, right? So toothbrushes, challenging. Guys' teeth aren't in the greatest shape. It actually hurts them to brush their teeth. So I don't. If it's mouthwash, please make sure there's no alcohol in it. It's alcohol-free mouthwash. That would be a better alternative than a toothbrush. I'd give out like playing deck of playing cards. If you're under a bridge or somewhere in a campsite, they could play cards with each other or something to pass the time. Creative things, notes, handwritten notes, cards, thinking of you or whatever. So those kinds of items.
So a suggestion and a question, maybe philosophical.
Yep.
I don't know if it would fit into your approach, but giving presentations like this, where you're particularly effective and you've got an interested audience, would it make sense to have a table with socks that you could, that people could come up and get and maybe, you know, drop a few bucks in a bucket to help finance your operation?
So bring the socks. You're saying bring socks with me?
Bring socks, have a table, get people more involved that way, and maybe help with your own financing.
Yeah.
Okay, the question is this. As a younger person, I've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours by the side of the road. Now, I didn't find that in any way undignified. So I'm wondering, do you think it's intrinsically undignified to be at the side of the road holding a sign?
Personally, you're asking me?
Yes.
Based on my experience and hearing the stories that I've heard over 8 years, to them, here, let me tell you something. Before I started Higher Ground, I wanted to go covertly on the corner with a hoodie to hold a sign. You know what stopped me? My pride. And that's me working with people all the time. And what I was going to do if someone, my mission was if someone was going to try to give me a dollar, I would tell them who I am and say thanks for stopping and acknowledge me. But I couldn't do it. My pride stopped me. And here I am, a man who works with those folks all the time. I say yes. For me personally, and based on what I'm hearing from my friends outside, they're it's humiliating. Especially if you're who's ever seen the guy like this or a woman and they're like this on the corner. There's no dignity in, is there dignity in that? They're doing it because they have to. They're in survivor mode. They gotta wait. When that buzz leaves them, they gotta get more stuff to get the buzz. Kevin shared with me when you're doing crack, the high lasts 20 seconds. That's why they're chasing it, and that's why crack is as addicting thing that is, because you're always smoking to stay high, to smoking to stay high. So I would say personally, I'm not trying to offend you in your position, but my position is I don't think there's value and dignity in it. I think it's humiliating. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for coming. I'm always conflicted about giving money to people, so I love that tip. I'm going to stop at Wegmans on the way home and buy wet ones and get socks this Saturday morning at the market. I'm reminded when I go to your website and I see what you need, I'm reminded about the taste and sea sauce you sell at Wegmans. What percent of your revenue comes from those sales?
So how that was born was the Master Chief that I talked about earlier, Mike Kazabinski, the cryptologist, financed that whole project for me to get that from a dream to a reality. And other than any proceeds that come in from Wegmans, I sell it myself personally at our facility. I make the most money that way because it's direct from me. If you buy it from Wegmans, there's a cut that's happening there for their percentage. But out of that jar that I sell at Wegmans, I'm making $3.50 out of that jar. But to me, Wegmans gives me exposure, gives me volume. Like, I'm in all 9 stores. So you could, if you live in West Valley, you go to Fairmount. You don't have to drive to In My Father's Kitchen to pick it up. You have it right there. It's convenient, right? Other than bringing in the revenue, I call it eating with a purpose. So when you buy that pasta sauce that day and you go home and eat dinner with your family, it's a way to have a conversation with someone who might not know about us. And other than filling your belly, you know you did something for your family, but then also you're doing something for the greater good at the same time. It's like a mutual exchange that takes place. So it's eating with a purpose. To me, that came out of the box, me thinking like a businessman again, and an idea, why do I always have to go fundraise and I'm always having to do a 5K? And so imagine if this sauce thing blows up and took off and I don't have to fundraise anymore. It would be self-funded by the sauce. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? And it's the community coming together for the greater good.
But what I wanted to know was how much money or what percent of your overall revenue comes from those sales.
Oh, and for our overall budget? Okay, so I don't market that other than Facebook. So that sauce last year brought in $30,000 of gross sales. After you take out the fact of what I cost to make it, I probably brought in $20,000 last year, which is a little percentage of our overall budget. But to me, my mission is, you might start seeing some commercials coming, and maybe you could help me with them with that marketing campaign to get that word out there.
I'd like to carry on with a comment that Ed has made about carrying the sign. I don't look upon panhandlers the same way you do. I think of them as entrepreneurs. I think it takes a great deal of courage to get out there and do what they do. But another thought, and we pulled this in one place over on the west side of Syracuse, we asked the geographer at SU to draw us a map of the area that we thought we had that went out, we'll say, 2 miles or so, or more, a mile from the housing that we were working in. And we had that map that showed different locations, and we had various types of service that you could get there: education, clothes, food, hot meals. But we had the information. If you look at a particular site and you see, hey, every Tuesday during the winter time, this particular church, St. Lucie's, it turned out, had a breakfast program. Mm-hmm. People could look at the map and they could figure out, I'm hungry today, where do I go? Mm-hmm. And they'd look at that and they knew. That all came from doing a focus group with the men that were in this program, who said, when I came into this program for addicts, I had 45 days where I wasn't going to get anything from the county to live on. And here was a solution, that there were people that were helping them, giving them what they needed, and they could tell and do it on their own from the standpoint of the map and what was going on in there.
That's two great points. So you disagree with the panhandling thing? That's fine, and that's your opinion, and I appreciate your opinion. No harm, no foul there. So with me, there's, and Emily was talking to me earlier about 211. I'm going to touch on that. So 211 is that vehicle that you're talking about. So anyone can call 211 to find, if you're in need of any kind of, where's a pantry? Where's the nearest this or where's that? They could call this number and it'll direct them to where it is. The problem that we have is the fact it's a transportation thing. So if I have a guy who flies near Hiawatha, holds a sign near Hiawatha Boulevard by the mall, and he needs to get somewhere but it's across town, the problem is, how do you get there? Now, they'll walk to their drug dealer 3 miles, but when you want to tell them that they have to walk to a food pantry, it's too far. Because the addiction is what drives you. One thing that I want to bring up that I didn't bring up is, when you shut down, I say don't give money. And one of the things that we do beautifully in Syracuse is we don't criminalize homelessness. You kind of brought that point up. So between the police department and City Hall, we and the county executive, I had a meeting with him when Ryan McMahon was trying to bring something to the legislation to kind of bring up an aggressive panhandling thing. Based on my conversation with him, and then this is how that thing kind of got tabled. Because engagement's the answer, but if you shut down the money source, those people still need money. So you have to be very careful. If you shut down something, you could open a door to something different. So if we know Joey's holding a sign and needs $50 today to go get his crack cocaine, and we all of a sudden shut that off, he's gonna go find $50 somewhere. He might start breaking into a car. He might go do a home invasion. Who knows what could happen? So you have to follow. I'm always trying to follow that trail. If we do this, then what's the outcome of that? Good intention could cause a ramification somewhere down the road. So you have to think it all the way through the process. You know what I mean?
thank God I see Joey. I know where I can find him. I know he's going to be on that corner. If we shut that corner down, then he's underground again. I have to go find him. So you have to think of that, too.
Hi, John. Thank you for being here today. And I wanted to ask if many of the people that you work with are veterans. I'm hearing that a lot of veterans are struggling with addiction and other issues, mental health issues. Yep. And I know that there are many efforts to get housing available for them, but I don't know if everyone uses that housing.
Yes, so veterans. So in 8 years that I've been doing this, any vet that I've encountered either already had gotten connected through some kind of veterans program and had their own place, or they're in one of our major shelters. I've never run into a vet. Well, one guy, his name was Chuck. He was a Vietnam veteran. He was living on the Creek Walk. He was 68 years old. So let me tell you a story based on veteran. Chuck served his country, Vietnam, came back home, got addicted to drugs in Vietnam, came back with a big addiction and can never bust the habit. Was receiving, between his veteran benefits, he was injured in service, he was getting about $3,000 a month with his Social Security and everything every month. Had his own place, and because of his drug addiction and making bad choices, didn't have money to pay his rent, and next thing you know, he's out on the street with $3,000 coming in every month because of his addiction, living under the Creek Walk. I reached out to the VA hospital and made a connection there. Between the VA hospital and us engaging Chuck, we were able to assist him to get back into an apartment, and he went back down the sober trail. He's now living in Florida with his sister. That's the only gentleman that I've encountered that was a veteran that's outside. I run into people who panhandle who are veterans, but it's usually there's a young man who panhandles who's addicted to fentanyl. He was a Marine who was injured in military service, and he's on the corner and he's addicted to fentanyl and he needs money because he's got pain. He's got severe back pains. They cut off his pain medicine. So now all of a sudden he's got to go find illegal substances to alleviate the pain, but he has an apartment. But he's out there panhandling. So there are services for veterans. We declared Functional Zero as a coalition of homeless veterans a couple of years ago. So as of right now, they're saying Functional Zero. Right now, there's no homeless vets. That's what they're kind of trying to say in Central New York and Onondaga County. So, but it doesn't mean that someone is not going to appear. Recidivism is huge. One last statement. Out of the 127 people that we assisted indoors, 6 recidivized back out. And out of those 6, we got 3 back in. So right now there's 3 out there that I helped get in at one point that are out again because of some bad choices that they made. So thank you for your time, everyone. I appreciate you. God bless you.
Thank you.